You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm talking to Nick Kunzer from Sanlam Private Wealth, who has just walked in from the Gau train, having spent a selfless weekend in Cape Town talking to clients and imparting his wisdom. Just out of interest, I mean, you know, I'm a tourism fan. How was Cape Town? Was it busy? Was it looking forward to the peak season, or what was going on there?
It was quite, evening Lindsay, it was quite difficult to gauge. So if I look at things like, so we're in Franschhoek on Sunday, if I look, there are a few little things I picked up. So that little hop-on, hop-off sort of tram, bus, whatever you want to call it, the little wine tour, one looked fairly full, which was a good sign. The restaurant itself was, I would say, more quiet than not, considering it's a month end on almost December in Franschhoek on a Sunday. So probably upstairs, that big upstairs area of the restaurant that was completely empty, and then downstairs was probably 40% full. So they still got a long way to go, but it was quite nice to see there were people about. And as always, Cape Town traffic was notorious, so the traffic is still there. So people are going about their business. I can't tell if there's much tourism happening, but judging by the restaurants and stuff, Lindsay, I'd say no, they got a long way to go still.
Okay, but also what the other thing is, there's internal domestic tourism, which is going to boost the economy.
Definitely. I mean, a lot of people talking about going to the coast for Christmas. I'm talking about sort of South Africans talking about finally heading off and hitting the coast, or going to game farms or trying to go somewhere. So I think they're going to get a bit of a kicker from domestic tourism, which will be good. It sounds like everyone just wants to get away from their, I don't know, their home offices or doing what they're doing and going on. So we should get a little bit of a kicker. But you need more than ever, we need sort of those tourism dollars to come in. And I don't think we're quite there yet.
Tell me about the JSE today, because it was unusual. There's the MSCI re-weighting. There's the vaccine that was announced, that Moderna announced that they have formally made an application for this thing to be made legal. There's the new Biden-Harris story going on with their new cabinet, almost, or part of their new cabinet, and also their communications team. There's quite a few things happening at the moment and the dollar weakening. It suddenly seems as though, yeah, we understand vaccines. We understand there's a new president coming up on January the 20th. But now we have to sort of put it all together and work out what to do next year.
That's exactly right. I mean, a lot of the conversation I've been having with clients is along those lines. Like, you know, what is the theme? If we could sort of look at that crystal ball a few years ago and seen the sort of, you know, the sort of people turning away from fossil fuels and going more into green energy, and the likes of, you know, Tesla springs to mind and a few others, you know, that would have been that sort of theme. So, you know, given if we had a crystal ball now, Lindsay, I mean, looking into it, you know, going into next year, with Biden Harris, with certainly massively positive stuff coming out with the vaccines, and we've got a choice of three now by the signs of things. Mr. Trump and very disruptive, and the trade wars maybe on, you know, a thing of the past now too. So a lot of good news going around, but the point is, like what does that equate to? So like you mentioned, the weaker dollar. I think a lot of big houses calling a weaker dollar next year, which should be good for emerging markets. I think I saw some notes, you know, as emerging markets certainly getting a lot of positive press. Does that mean, you know, we're in South Africa, the JSE, we're going to be a beneficiary, and so on. So a lot of rejigging ahead of that. And as you said, we saw the rebalancing of the MSCI today. Quite big moves on the JSE. But, you know, I wish I had that crystal ball, because I think there's a lot to digest and how to position ourselves going into next year.
Okay, let's have a look at the spot prices before we get to the individual stock movements, because that's very much linked to the MSCI re-weighting. I've got the dollar rand. This morning when we spoke, it was 15.26. It's now 15.37. So that's a 1% fall for the rand against the US dollar. The British pound against the rand is 20.54. The euro rand is 18.43. The euro dollar, here we go. 119.94. It has touched 120, and if it breaks through if it fails here, then it's going to come back technically. But if it breaks through here, then it'll break up, and there'll be lots of stop losses, and then it'll come back again, and off we go. I personally think this is going to 130, 140, 150 during the Biden presidency, and I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing, but that I just think that's what's going to happen. The gold price doesn't like the weaker dollar. What's going on here? $1,773, down $8.50. Platinum is up 17, though, to $982. Palladium is what, please, Nick?
In between the two of them. So that's down 0.69%, $16 sitting at 2,400. You know, there's a real sort of people piling into risky assets today. And unfortunately, even with that weaker dollar, gold is bearing the brunt of the other way.
Yes, I don't understand that. West Texas crude was down 2% this morning when we spoke. It's now only down 0.5%, but down it is at $45.30. Brent crude oil is $47.73 per barrel, which is a near 1% fall. Give me the live Dow, NASDAQ and S&P, if you would.
So live prices on record for being one of the best Novembers on record. We have the S&P currently a little bit softer, down 13 points to 3,623. Dow Jones Industrial, that is almost 1% weaker, also quite weak, back under 30,000 now, 29,660. And of course, the NASDAQ is maybe a beneficiary now with this risk off getting back into tech shares. That is unchanged on the day.
What about Black Friday? Because there have been certain people that have been saying because of the weather in the United States and because of the unfortunate situation that envelops the U.S. economy at the moment, despite what Mr. Trump says, the fact is that the man in the street, as opposed to the Wall Street, is not doing very well. The man and woman in the street, I should say, not doing very well at all. And yet I saw an interview with a chap who's the president of a company called Shopify saying his numbers are up 75%. I don't know if Shopify is big enough to move the needle, as they say, but there's almost different areas of retailing in the United States doing well. And I think that's what the theme of the future is going to be. You've got to pick your part of the sector, if you see what I mean.
Definitely. And I think it's one of those plays as well where I don't think all will be left at the end of it, if you know what I mean. So say you pick online shopping, for example.
Yes.
You know, the likes you just mentioned, Shopify is also, look at something like an Amazon. You know, when the dust sort of settles, who's left? Because I don't think all can compete in that space. It's a very cutthroat space, online shopping, and margins are wafer thin. So who's going to be left sort of with at the end of it? I don't know, and I think you're right. That's going to be the trick this year or for next year is picking them. I mean, Amazon, I'm just commenting now, I mean, with the NASDAQ sort of unchanged, actually going positive. You know, Amazon down 0.5%. So maybe they aren't looking so good at the moment.
What about the logistics companies? I mean, this is such an obvious play, obviously, but there must be some logistics companies that will do extremely well because we know that it's a part of our life now. We are going to continue to order stuff online. And there's two companies, apart from the one that you order from, are going to do well. It's going to be the packaging company and the person that delivers it to your door. And then when you try on your shoes, your shirt, it's the wrong size, it's the wrong color, you look stupid in it, so you have to send it back. And then they have to send it back as well. Is it that easy?
It used to be. And in fact, things like DHL were very good barometers to the world economy, as much as you'd look at, like, for example, your Baltic Dry Index or something.
Yeah.
You know, they were quite good leading indicators. Unfortunately, once again, you know, things aren't as easy as they used to be because the likes of Amazon has bought their own fleet of planes, and they've actually been using DHL and other sort of delivery services. They've got their own fleet. So more and more of these big tech giants, I think that's also why, you know, that is another concern as a regulatory issue, you know, breaking up these big tech. So Amazon, case in point, used to look at the delivery guys like DHL. They've been them a few months ago, and they now got their own fleet. Mr. Bezos decided to buy 30 Boeings and do it himself. So you can't look at that anymore. But nevertheless, you're on the right track. Let's look at shipping, for example. Maybe there's something to be done there too.
Okay, and we'll look at shipping. Let's have a look at the JSE Securities Exchange, Stock Exchange News Service, because this morning, the one that we don't need to go through them all, we had Barlow World out, we had Invicta, but the one that interested me because it brought down the index, the banking index, or was a contributor to the fall in the banking index, was Standard Bank. What did they say that people didn't like?
Yeah, and funny enough, when I was just sitting on the train coming in, I wanted to sort of get the headlines, and this is literally the only one I really spent a bit of time reading, because the Standard Bank, I mean, it is Africa's largest bank by assets, so, you know, ignore them at your peril. They came out, and I'm going to quote what they said, because I actually got sent this on an email when I was coming in. We have identified pockets of pressure in the PBB SA portfolio, particularly within the personal unsecured lending. They said, in addition to continued increase in retrenchments that has triggered additional stage three provisions. I mean, stage three is basically referring to bad debt provisions for loans that have exceeded a 90-day. I mean, ignore all the banking jargon. So that's stage
lots
three.
Of P's
basically,
there.
People are 90 days behind their payments.
A lot of P's there. And in other words, pressure is the one that I heard the most. Pressure. And that's a voluntary trading statement as well. It's not like a voluntary trading statement that says we're doing so well. Look at us. Have a lovely Christmas. Yeah. This is a be careful voluntary trading statement.
Exactly, and this is what makes me quite nervous, actually, Lindsay. If I be honest, I mean, I've always liked financials as being that leading indicator. I've said this a number of times too. Yes. They lead markets up and they lead markets down. And I always question the last couple of months, everyone dashing back into banking shares because you know, they're cheap and they're looking for that sort of flow back to value. I think this is just a reminder that it's not that simple. You know, your biggest lender on the continent says, hold on a minute, you know, we're starting to see an increase of people more than 90 days behind. That gets me very worried. And I think, you know, listeners on your show, people looking at getting into the market next year, just keep an eye on these banks because they are going to tell you a story. And I think Standard Bank Art today is a little bit of a warning that Cypher's got a long way to go. And they specifically refer to the lending book in South Africa. That's the concern.
Is that a flag? Is that a red flag for the South African
ink
stocks? Yep. Because they've been so to the fore in the last 4 to 5 weeks. And now suddenly you've got the people that actually do the transactions for SA Inc. suddenly coming down and with good reason, not just because there's a hedge fund that decides it doesn't like it. It's because of the Standard Bank statement. I mean, am I being simplistic?
No, but sometimes simple is the right way to look at it. Let's not complicate things. I mean, businesses work on credit in modern finance, and businesses grow on credit, and you need credit and all the rest of it. You may know credit is cheap around the world, but with credit sitting in South Africa, we're sitting at all-time lows on our overnight rep on this sort of rate, 3.75%, you know?
Yes.
That is the lowest. So even in that conditions, people are more than 3 months behind because of retrenchments and the like. I think you can't ignore it. I think it'll be negligent to ignore something like a sentiment coming like this. So I don't want to put too much of a sort of negative spin on it, but it is very important. And I think we need to put this, if you're looking at getting into the market, just keep an eye on things like these coming out of the banks, because they will lead you where that's going to go.
Yes, they are the benchmark. They are the benchmark for SA Inc., the banks, because they transact everything. Very interesting. Okay, top five major moves on the upside, and my screen may have not taken in the auction, which is probably going to be quite busy because of the MSCI index reweighting. But anyway, I've got Hammerson up 4.1%, Montauk up 3.75%, Sirius up 2.9%. These are rats and mice, with all due respect to those companies. Capital and Counties up 2.6%, and Quilter up 2.5%. But there's obviously some stories behind those ones, which, as I said, rats and mice. Any of the upside moves that I've missed here?
I did see something on Brait having a monster move. I don't really follow the share anymore, sort of fallen out of favor, but Brait's up 23%. Couldn't find any news on it.
Really?
4.15. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I scouted on my Reuters, I looked in, and they'll say, I only sort of picked it up now. So I don't know if anything's going on there. I see some of the property shares work. It's, as you said, a bit of a mixed bag. I'm not quite sure why. You know, we've got the likes of small cap SA, like Lipstar caught my mind, 3% up. Alexander Forbes up 4%. But, you know, nothing, no real trend in this basket today.
Far more interesting on the downside. Sasol down 8.75%. Nevertheless, it's still 121, whereas it was 8 weeks ago, 72 rand a share. Redefined down 8.1%. African Rainbow Minerals, a 7.5% loser at the moment. Truworths, wasn't that up about 6% this morning? Gosh, it's been all over the place. Anyway, African Rainbow Minerals down 7.5%. Truworths down nearly 7% at just below 36 rand per share. And Lib Holdings down 6.6%. The downside is far more interesting, perversely, than the upside.
Yeah, it is. Look, there's some big moves there. Unfortunately, none of my systems have been out all day, so I couldn't see the volume. But it'll be interesting to see where the big moves are. But yeah, you're right. The downside, very interesting. Looking like some of these guys that are run really hard, the likes of Sasol springs to mind straight away, and some of the clothing retailers. I mean, Truworths International has been on an absolute charge the last couple of months. So I wonder if it's just that month end today. Normally you get it the other way with the window dressing. But today, quite surprisingly, quite a weak tilt, I think, to this closing bell today in South Africa.
Yes, very weak indeed, and we'll get the the bones of it, the autopsy tomorrow morning, what volumes there were and what went in and out of the MSCI, etc. But we need to have a look at the indices. So on the last day of November, which has been a terrific month, what were the index movements on the JSE?
Yeah, so with this last, and I will say the European markets, which do close in the next sort of, what do we got, next 8 minutes, they're on target for the best November on record.
Oh, yeah.
And South Africa actually not too far behind. We also had a really good month. I'll get the numbers out in a second. Where was my, I was looking at a second, I can't find it now. But anyway, if you look at where we eventually closed the day, JSE All Share down 1.25%, still holding though, 57,091. That I've got this move year to date down 0.07%
for the
month. But flat. But here's the big one, Lindsay, 10.37% up for the month of November. So that is the story there. So we're giving a little bit back today. Top 40 index down 1.22%, 52,375. And it was a little bit of a mixed bag on the different indices. If we look down, drill down into the numbers, financials, as we said, a really tough session. 3.27% down the financial index. The FINI 15 also down 3.62%. On the plus side, utilities up 2.8%. And in general, a bit of a soggy market. Basic materials down 0.5%, healthcare down 1.84%. Even technology shares in this negative market battling to get a bid, closing down 1.24%.
Nick, thank you very much for that. We've got the S&P suddenly having been more or less unchanged, is now the futures anyway, down around about 0.6%, despite the fact the vaccine is in the offing. So there's a little bit of negativity here, and maybe it's realistic negativity. I don't know. Nick Kunzer is from Sanlam Private Wealth. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. Nick will be back with me tomorrow morning for the opening. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.